CH. Okay, we're reading the article by Michael Hudson, The Road to Chaos, A Global Balance of Payments of War. And it's about Donald Trump, the President of the United States of America, which nowadays I hear here and there from people over there calls itself the Empire. And I kind of scratch my head, and when did it become the Empire? And I find Sweden here and other countries in Europe where I am, it seems that they are kind of accepted that they are subsidiaries, or what do you call it, colonies of that empire. It's just mind-boggling to me. But then I keep reading and hearing experts, you know, professors and diplomats and former, well, as I mentioned, I mean, people who should know about these things, and they say that the U.S. is off the track nowadays. And so here is Trump, and this is now the beginning of February 2025. And he's going there with his tariffs and trade threats to other countries. If you don't do what we want you to do, we will make tariffs on you, and we will make this and that. Trade war, right? Yeah, I'm Mr. Donald Trump, the great president of the great United States of America. I'm going to do a trade war. Against what? Against who? BRICS? Against the whole world? I mean, it's like... So yeah, I looked at some YouTube videos today where you can hear about that, and I was wondering what is going on here. Threatening Canada. You have to do it our way, or we will make tariffs on you too. And Mexico, yeah. Trying to get other countries, starting with neighbors, it seems, under their thumb. I mean, under his thumb, under the U.S. thumb, where they should be, it seems they think. This is where your actual right position is. So you just accept that we are the empire. So yeah, so he writes this Professor Michael Hudson. On his website, michael-hudson.com, an article which I think is very worth reading. It's from 2501. The Road to Chaos, A Global Balance of Payments War. He writes here, there's a basic illusory moral principle at work in Trump's tariff and trade threats. And it underlies the broad narrative by which the United States has sought to rationalize its unipolar domination of the world economy. That principle is the illusion of reciprocity, supporting a mutual distribution of benefits and growth. And in the American vocabulary, it is wrapped together with democratic values and patter talk about free markets promising automatic stabilizers under the U.S.-sponsored international system. Now, what did all this mean? I actually asked not ChatGPT, but DeepSeek, which is not controlled by America. What he meant with that, which I just read. And the answer, I'm going to read it because I think it's pretty interesting. The political science professor, which I believe is critiquing the moral and ideological justification behind U.S. trade politics. No, between U.S. trade policies, particularly under Trump, and more broadly, the way the U.S. has framed its dominance in the global economy. Here's a breakdown of the key ideas. The first one, illusory moral principle, which he mentions there. The professor argues that the moral reasoning behind Trump's tariffs and trade threats is based on a false or misleading idea. This principle suggests that trade policies are fair and mutually beneficial, but in reality, they may serve U.S. interests disproportionately. In other words, sounds good, sounds moral and all of that, it's all, well, fair and square, but actually, when you look closer at it, it's designed to, well, as the U.S. leaders, they even say it openly nowadays, they're even proudly saying it. We are just out here in the world to defend our own interests. So, yes, now, are we talking, well, that's the second point here, reciprocity. Reciprocity, reciprocal means, he says, reciprocity in trade means that countries exchange goods and services on equal or mutually beneficial terms, right? Makes sense, doesn't it? The professor claims this is an illusion because, in practice, the U.S. uses its economic power to shape trade rules and outcomes in its favor, often at the expense of other countries. So, yeah, we're in it to defend our own interests. The big empire, those who call themselves the empire over there, say bluntly. And, well, that can mean, right, that it comes at the expense of other countries, because if a powerful nation is out there doing anything and thinking that morally it's all completely okay to do anything as long as it serves our own interests. Well, if I would act like that, I would be called a psychopath. But, yeah. Number three, mutual distribution of benefits and growth. The U.S. often claims that its trade policies promote shared economic growth and benefits for all parties. However, the professor suggests that this is not always true, as the U.S. leverages its dominant position to secure advantages that may not be equally distributed. Again, it may be that, yes, you are dominant here, you're the big, strong guy, right? And you're making, this is a win-win, you know, this benefits me and it benefits you, so let's cooperate. But then when you look closer at it and when you start in that mutual cooperation, then you realize that, hey, it wasn't so fair as it seemed to be. And I have to now surrender to that big guy and become his serf. Anyway, number four, democratic values and patter talk about free markets. The U.S. ties its trade policies to democratic ideals and free market rhetoric, suggesting that its system promotes freedom, fairness, and stability. The professor implies this is largely superficial, quote-unquote, patter talk. and serves to legitimize U.S. economic dominance rather than genuinely fostering equality or stability. Again, serving our own interests, right? And number five, finally, automatic stabilizers under the U.S.-sponsored international system. The U.S. portrays its leadership in the global economy as creating a system that naturally maintains balance and stability. The professor critiques this as a self-serving narrative, implying that the system is designed to reinforce U.S. power rather than ensure true global stability or fairness. So yeah, that's our DeepSeek summarizes this. The professor is arguing that the U.S. uses moral and ideological rhetoric, such as reciprocity, free markets, and democratic values, to justify its dominant role in the global economy, even though the reality may be more about maintaining its own power and interests. Trump's tariffs and trade threats are seen as part of this broader pattern. And of course, now it's me again. This may be catering very well to the certain type of American citizen who's maybe the typical voter for Mr. Trump that make America great again, right? So this is a way to make America great. Great means big empire, right? Well, I thought maybe great meant it's a country where people are happy and where things work nicely and harmoniously, and nature is happy too, and everyone. But it can also, yes, and I was kind of a little bit not fearing that, because I think pride comes before fall, but it could be. But yes, we are the empire, and we're going to show all the others that we are the greatest, we are the strongest, we are the toughest. Don't mess with us, then we will show you. Then we'll hit you right in the face with tariffs. And if that is not enough, sanctions. And if that is not enough, well, we send our CIA on you to topple your government and make a color revolution or some other nifty things we might come up with in the future. And you BRICS, all of you countries, half of the world actually, oops, if you don't follow us, if you don't bow before us now and play our game, you know, they call it the rule-based system, which is funny because the rules are made by the USA and everyone else is supposed to follow them. But the thing is that they can change those rules as they go along, because the rule behind all the other rules, above all the other rules, is that whatever serves the interest of the United States should be done and nothing else. So, I mean, pardon me, but it's getting a bit, I mean, like a comedy. And sorry, but I don't think I'm the only one here in the world, this earth place nowadays, who smirk a little or even laugh a little sometimes at the big empire over there and its leaders. And it's not about Trump, because the one there in between the two Trump periods, I mean, you don't even know if you should laugh or cry. We almost got a world war, nuclear war. So, I mean, it can get dangerous, really. So, yeah, that's the situation today. But, you know what I think? I think that the folks over there in BRICS, which, in case you didn't know it, is a kind of trading cooperation, which I think is really doing that which we're talking about here, mutual benefits and all that, reciprocity. And they are talking multipolar world, that we don't want this anymore with a big superpower that controls all the others. Of course, the thing is, someone comes up and becomes another big superpower, and there was always, so it used to be the US and the Soviet Union, the two superpowers. And now we have more of them coming up. US, China, Russia, and even India. I mean, if a country has 1.5 billion citizens and they are doing well and they are financially on their way up, and then of course they are militarily viable, then you can call that a superpower. So we have a few of them now, which means we do have a multipolar world now. It's just that some, or one of us, doesn't seem to have understood or accepted that. And I can understand it. You know, when the Roman Empire was ruling the world, and all of a sudden it wasn't anymore. It was turmoil, of course, and the British Empire, same thing. So there's always a kind of bewilderment when you were the biggest powerful one and you aren't anymore. And of course, if there is another big one standing there in front of you, you can always have a good fist fight or draw your guns and see who is the strongest and most powerful one and who wins if both doesn't die. Don't die. But now it's not even like that. We got a corporation there, which seems to be very beneficial for all corporation between, you know, China, Russia, India, Brazil, and I mean so many. I mean, there are like 40 of them signed up, if not members already. Iran and African states and. I mean, did you hear that? Those kind of countries, and yes, the Arab world, the Saudi Arabia, they are also interested in it, but then you have the big boys over in the West who try to stop them, who try to sunder this alliance and try to do everything against it. And therefore, this professor is basically saying this, that Donald Trump has declared war against the entire world, which I find very interesting as a statement there, right? I think he's talking, I mean, he's a professor, and someone may say he's talking just poetically or whatever, but I think on the contrary, professors, I know how professors are, I think he's talking very technically exact. That in principle, doing this thing, we will fight you, beat you with tariffs or whatever, unless you surrender to us and declare your obedience to us as the empire that you are now part of, then we will hit you with tariffs or whatever. I don't know how I started that sentence, but that is, I would say, amateur as I am, a pretty warlike attitude. Surrender to us or we'll beat you. Isn't it? So, yeah. But the world goes on. They say the dogs bark at the elephant caravan or whatever. But it just continues moving on anyway. So now, the thing is that the big, big elephant now seems more like a dog, barking dog. And it's kind of amusing to follow the world events on that level now, global political level. Unless, I mean, as long as they don't just start to kill us and make a mess for us ordinary people. And let those big power guys up there on their thrones show off to each other and have their showdowns and fist fights and whatever if they think it's fun. But don't hit us, for God's sake. We are just the ordinary little citizens who don't care about your power play, but just wants to have food on our table and place to live and peace in the world. So if you're so big and fantastic, then first of all, accomplish that for the people you are leaders of. That's what a leader is meant for. Not just coming into power and starting to fight with everyone else. Come on, wake up.